This time I'll call the meeting of the Franklin Township Board of Trustees by a regular bi-weekly meeting to order on December 15th at 12 p.m. Pastor Snodgrass, will you open us in prayer?
Thank you. Father God, as we come to you this afternoon, Lord, we come lifting up the firefighters from Washington Township, God, as they prepare for the line of duty death of one of their brothers. We know that's going to be very emotional, not only for them, but for the families in that community. So, Lord, we just ask you to bless them with peace and comfort, not only today, Lord, but over the next few days and the next few weeks as they go through the grief process. So, Lord, we ask you to bless this township, Father. We're thankful for our paramedics, our firefighters, our police officers, the road department, all the employees, Father, that strive to keep this township, Lord, running the way it's designed to be. So, Lord, we ask you to be at the Board of Trustees, the decisions they make, that those decisions always benefit the citizens of this community. So, Lord, we just love you, we praise you, and we give you praise and glory in your wonderful Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.
Where's that coming from? Robin's office?
No, somebody at the front door.
Someone at the front door. Jan, will you lead us in the pledge?
Yes, I will. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Jan. Can we get a roll call?
Yeah. Jim?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. We'll move on to, well, welcome everybody. Thank you for showing up today. It's great to see all your smiling faces. Move on to old business. Nick, you got some old business here?
Yeah, we have minutes from executive session on October 6th, minutes from regular session December 1st, and minutes from executive session December 8th.
I would make a motion to accept the minutes as they are written.
I would second that. Did we, one question, did we already do the minutes of 10-6 last meeting?
You guys tabled them.
Okay, so are they on there, this one?
Yeah.
10-6? Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
Yep.
Okay. I would second that.
Okay, roll call, Jim?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank
and then
you.
I have one other thing I need to bring to the attention of everybody. So this is Dear Franklin Township Board of Trustees and Residents. I'm going to be officially announcing my resignation from the position as a fiscal officer effective December 31st, 2022. I'm grateful for the opportunity to serve you. However, several issues have come to light that I feel should be known. I've had trustees verbally harass me during meetings in a public setting, go against financial advice. I've attempted to make other changes that get dismissed that would save residents money. Trustees state in individual talks with me that they support something that I bring up to them, and when a meeting comes, it gets pushed off, and I feel as if all three go against me at times. I get no notice of additional meetings for record-keeping purposes. All meetings got moved to noon without any input of how it impacts my department. One trustee has also stated that they feel my department is overstaffed and has threatened to lay off people. When I took this position, my understanding was that politics, in terms of a way a certain trustee votes, Republican or Democrat, would not come into play. I was told this job was part-time. I could run my office as I see needed with whomever I want. All of these have been falsely stated. I was hoping to have fellow colleagues in the Board of Trustees. At least one trustee has stated in meetings asking why I'm not working full-time in this role, questioning my free time and personal life, and accusing me of making decisions that I have no power to make. This position has no set schedule. I've asked the board to stop questioning it. They continue to do so. I've been threatened with lawsuits for questioning contracts and MOUs when my job is to ensure that these are followed financially, to which the board has never taken action on. I have told certain departments view me as negative and non-supportive because I'm giving financial advice that they do not like. I've had an officer tell me that all three trustees talk negatively to me about me to everyone, which has circled back to me. A lack of distrust, disregard for financials, and distrust from the board in me is not worth the negative lifestyle that this has brought upon me. At this time, I will not take any additional questions and wish to not comment further on this matter. Thank you for your time as a fiscal officer, and I wish everyone the best. Sincerely, Nick Dunn.
I'll make a motion to accept this resignation.
It would be a, I think that we have to have that as a
resolution.
And then he has to sign it, and the board has to sign it with the resolution with that. So you're going to make the resolution?
I'll make a resolution that we accept.
As stated.
As stated, the resignation of Nick Dunn, effective December 31st of 2022.
And paid through that last
pay period.
Okay.
And then, Ralph, are you seconding that?
Yes.
All right, roll call, Jim?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Thank you.
And then if we could get that, we'll just run it down through here and give it back to you.
I don't have a resolution typed up for it. It's just my initial letter.
But okay.
I'll get it typed up beforehand. Thank you.
Okay.
Chief Smith.
Thank you, sir.
Yep.
We have a few things here. We'll start with the third shift stat for the last 2 weeks. There were 64 runs taken. Hopefully, here in a few weeks, a month maybe, we'll be able to go back to three shifts or at least get that posted and get going. I wanted to talk about the speed signs. Our biggest issue we've had with those signs is placement. And this is no fault to Jim, I want to make that clear. There's not poles in the places where we need to put the signs. So we came up with a solution, at least to help us with, he is going to fabricate a trailer for us that we will be able to mount the sign on, and then we will be able to secure that to even a utility pole, because part of the trailer will have the speed limit sign on it. That way we can put it where we actually need it the most, turn it where you can't do that with a fixed pole. Okay. But I wanted to talk about Hart Road real quick. We ran it for 2 weeks. It wasn't an ideal location. Like I said, we didn't have poles where we wanted them. So this was westbound only between the week of 10-11 and 10-16. The peak times are from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. The average speed of the violators is between 50 and 67 miles an hour. With some being higher. No, that's not everybody.
No, what I was going to ask, you said 50, 60 average speed in a 45?
Yes.
Okay.
Or 35.
I'm sorry. 35.
It's not 45. So usually we go with the biggest violator, so we get 15 over. That helps us to prioritize. So that's based on those stats. So we've already started putting officers as we can in those areas during those times. So I'll be able to report on that.
So this is all from the data. Now, does these speed cameras, do they also take a picture?
No.
Because I know some of them, there are models, I guess, that do, and you have an idea of which cars, if it's the same one coming home from work every day.
Yeah. No, those don't do that. It does give us the data. The thing with Hart Road is the violations were so sporadic. Usually it's a confined area, like rush hour or whatever. But this was very widespread. So we're going to enforce that pretty heavy.
Okay. How did El Paso turn out? Have you got that data back?
The data was very skewed because of the tree and the way the pole was setting.
Yeah.
Jim has since straightened up a pole by Dusty's house.
Yeah.
Right there coming eastbound. So we're going to go ahead and mount that to
do that again.
And do it again.
Yeah, so you know where I was going, because I wanted to get back with Dusty on that.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
So with the trailer, where we still do some of them that we've got poles to put them on when we get back
around. Yes, we're still
going
to use the poles, but this way we won't necessarily have to try to monopolize Jim's time to put in additional poles. We can just use the trailer and then use the brackets on the poles as hotspots.
So what would you need from us? A resolution?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing. Okay. The PO's been approved.
Okay.
Jim's helping us get it all together, so we're good there.
Okay.
Just an update.
Okay.
Just an update.
I love it when the departments work together.
Yeah, we could always have. Bill. Well, I figured I'd get a little bill.
That should be. That
I
should
gave
be.
You the PO, so we'll just keep it inside that range.
You got to start paying for these posts.
I opened up a can. Okay. Let's move on.
So, I don't know if you want to do this, Steve, or if you want me to do it. I don't have the resolution for the special duty rates.
I can do that, Chief. I have them right here.
Typically, we follow with the sheriff's office. So, when they change their rates, we change ours because we work the same jobs. So, what you have is their latest rate change. So, we just need a resolution to adopt that effective January 1st.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'll be happy to read that. It is resolution 2022-192, a resolution approving rate changes for special duty police officers and use of cruiser. I'll read the majority of this so you get all the figures. Be it resolved that the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, and Resolution 2021-130 approved and authorized the following rate changes effective January 1, 2023 for special duty assignments regarding the Franklin Township Police Department. Special duty police officers' hourly pay will change from $52.50 to $63 per hour. The police cruiser cost will increase from $15 per hour to $25 per hour. And the supervisor, when assigned, rate of pay will be $73 an hour. And you should have an Exhibit A attached.
Yes.
Explaining the rates?
Yes.
Okay.
The hourly rate for the cruiser that comes to the department back into the...
Yeah.
Okay. So moved as the resolution is written.
Yeah. Second.
Roll call, Jim?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yeah.
Thank you. That was 2022-192.
Mm-hmm. The next resolution I have is resolution 2022-191, resolution to hire Jacob Johansson as a full-time police officer. And be it resolved that the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the board approves to hire Jacob Johansson as a full-time police officer beginning at step D level at a pay rate of $33.79 per hour. The employment start date is effective January 4, 2023.
Question on this, Chief, if I may. Can you give us a little bit of background on this individual, please?
Yeah, Jacob comes to us from Ross County. He has over 5 years' experience. No bad references. Highly regarded by his peers.
What made him want to come here?
More money. More activity. You know, we're a lot
doesn't
busier.
Like Mayberry.
Apparently not. we're a lot busier than they are down there. so yeah.
Okay, thank you.
We were able to help for him away, so I'm happy about that.
Well, yeah, it's kind of hard to do right now.
I'll make a motion to adopt the resolution as written.
Yeah. To accept. Now that's Jacob.
Yes, sir.
Jacob.
Yep.
Okay.
Johansson.
Oh, second time.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
When's his start date?
January 4th.
January 4th. Okay.
All right. Roll call, Jim.
Yes.
Ralph.
Yes.
John.
Yes.
Thank you.
Just a couple more things. So, in the amount of time we spent in Havenwood, I see the need to bring on a chaplain who is Muslim to help us deal with that segment of our population, especially with the language barrier. That would just give us more insight to their culture, and that person would be able to help us mitigate any issues where they typically do not trust the police in general from their country. What we've had I think all of our homicides out there, so
he would show up at that time.
He would be there. It is not a paid position. I do have someone in mind. His name is Hassan Muhammad. I've already had conversations with the administrator for all the mosques in the Columbus area. So he come highly regarded from them. We did a background check, make sure everything was in order as we do for all the other ones also.
I know we had discussed that a little bit. Is he one of the employees there, Chief?
Or? He does. He does work at the mosque in Havenwood or right here in Prairie Township.
Was he one of the gentlemen that I met or not?
I believe you did.
I think I met him.
Yeah.
Thinner guy.
Maybe two times. Have you met him, John?
Yeah, I met him. Okay. Yeah, nice gentleman. Speaks English very well.
Yes, he does.
Okay.
Highly educated.
Yeah.
No, I'm good with it.
I think you'd be an asset to the township.
I think so too, because the language barrier as well as the trust factor, as I've been out there with you and Lieutenant Ratliff, a lot of times it's very different. Like when I was with you, we had a neighbor come over that could translate.
Yes.
But the time period that took was very, and they didn't want to say everything they wanted to say, so right. You're absolutely
right. They bring in that trust factor, and they can help right. Us bring the two cultures together. If the board doesn't have any issues with that, I would like to bring him in the first meeting of January, because okay. Warren is our third chaplain.
Well, that would be fine with me.
I'll make a motion that we do it.
Just a quick question. Now, those that we had officially had the pastor as our police, what is that?
We do. We currently have two chaplains, Pastor Snodgrass and Pastor Willman.
Pastor Snodgrass has basically been acting as both lately.
Yeah, he also handles the fire department, so this would just give us another resource.
Okay.
He's not
what we're saying at the moment there, a pastor basically would be giving up his post.
No. This would
no,
be
we
an
keep
addition.
Them both. Okay. Yeah.
Additional.
Okay.
And he'll be available to the sheriff's department also if they need him.
Yes, I don't see why you wouldn't.
Okay. That's fine with me. Does that sound okay? You're still good to stay with your posts and everything, aren't you, sir?
And then I had a
really
question.
Certainly don't want to lose you.
There is a language barrier between me and Pastor Tim also. So this is going to be a benefit not only to that community, but to the police department also.
Well, God knows I appreciate what you do, so I definitely don't want to do anything to...
I'll still maintain being a chaplain for the police department and for the fire department.
Okay, mm-hmm. I appreciate it. Thank you.
And then with the sheriff department being here, and you could put your two cents in if you would like, what you see as...
Well, we also have a unit. I don't know if they're still looking for the PAC, or the police and clergy together, they call it. They're looking for a chaplain preacher too. I'm not 100% sure. I'd have to get in charge of... In charge of Father Conley.
Okay.
For sure, one thing I appreciate too, and just make sure the sheriff knows that the support we get from him, allowing you and your other fellow officers to come out, we definitely appreciate that. Okay. Thank you.
We got a motion on the table. I need a second.
Yes, I'm second.
Bringing him on and bringing him in on the first meeting.
Roll call, Jim.
Yes.
Ralph.
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Thank you.
Anything else, Chief?
Yes, sir. One more thing.
You're out of letters on the docket.
I know. It's that evil thing in the sky, better known as Facebook. The police Facebook page has over 4,000 followers. That can be very instrumental in us getting information out to the public.
Yep.
I would like the board's permission to work with Steve on a policy. Basically, there's always going to be something that somebody doesn't agree with, whether it's a video we're showing of an incident or whatever, but to come up with a policy of these are the things we are not going to put on Facebook, and that way we can start showing the community again the things that we do, so they can understand what actually goes on in their neighborhood.
You and Steve, this is my opinion, you and Steve work together on a policy, and I would like for him to sign off on everything that goes on there, like the resolution that was passed a couple years ago. But yeah, bring it back to us and we can look at it.
Okay.
I mean,
What if we was to make a resolution based on Steve, so then that way they can just go with it and it doesn't have to come back?
I think it should be run to the lawyer.
What I would do is, I'd like to
just make sure the lawyer's got everything clear on it, you know.
I'd like to make a resolution for the police department to work with the administrator on social media platforms with a policy of like, dislike procedures. If there's no, and then this will go through our administrator.
And the administrator signs off on all.
Right. That's why it would work through him. He would have the final say. If there's no further discussion on the matter, I'd ask for a second.
I'll second that.
Roll call, Jim?
Yeah.
Ralph?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Thank you.
And the reason that I put that to a resolution, gentlemen, is so that the fact that we have resolution numbers, because we took it down from the procedure, and now we're bringing it back.
Yeah. Well, we had a little hitch there, so I want to make sure everything's
right. So that's why we're doing it by procedures.
And can we get that, while we're doing that, can we get that over into township owned?
I would like to see that. I don't know if it's possible to transfer the ownership. I believe it was started by Mark Potts.
Aaron is the one to put that together, so it's under the township
already. Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
So, and then the lieutenant, if I'm correct, has capability for editing only. Or
what had happened, the township still owns that page, but somewhere during the line, I think they tried to verify the administrator, which was
Aaron.
Aaron was running it. She was gone. So while they're sending these emails, they shut her down, and they went to Mark, and when he didn't reply, they shut him off. I'm an editor on it. That's all I am. But it still belongs to you guys.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you.
Anything else, Chief?
No, sir. That's all I have.
Thank you.
Steve, were you okay with working on that? I mean, that throws you on the hot plate, I know.
Is that telling you I need that?
A little spark?
Yeah.
All right.
Questions for me?
Nope, we're good.
Okay.
Deputy Hamilton, do you have any?
I do not, sir.
Okay.
Deputy
Chief Arnold, do you have anything?
Yes, sir.
Jim Stevens. The podium is yours, sir.
I appreciate it. How's everybody doing today?
Great. How are you?
Living a dream.
Dreaming to live.
It might change in about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Only thing I really had on the agenda for today, every year annually, we usually bring somebody in from Franklin County Soil and Water to do a presentation on our storm sewer program, on how we go about as a township, and we ask that the residents do their part to help just keep our storm sewer system clean of debris and oils. And I just kind of put together a little presentation here to do that. First of all, piggybacking on what Byron was talking about the trailers, I just want to give you guys a figure on what it's actually costing us. To put one of these speed signs up, it takes two posts to do that. That's $76 every time we put a sign up. Mm-hmm. That's a T-post. If we do the square post like it's meant to be on, it's a total of $132. A post is $84. A sneak's $48. I just want to kind of give you guys an
idea. So how much was a trailer?
The trailer is only $400.
So basically five of those pay for it, and we've already got five in.
And that's what I was saying. I just wanted you guys to be aware of what it's actually costing us to go out and put all these posts on.
And that trailer's coming out of police budget?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And then my bill will come out of the police budget. As a township, we partner with the Franklin County Soil and Water Conservation District to monitor our storm system, our storm water system, and we file for a 5-year permit through the Ohio EPA. Currently, we're covered underneath a 5-year permit that is in effect until March 31st, 2025. Every township within the county is all partnered up on an MS4 with the Franklin County Soil and Water, and every 5 years we have to renew that that permit, and I think a lot of the other villages and everybody else will have to jump on this, Hillier and everybody. They have to jump on that too. At the end of every year, going into the next year, I have to put together a report, and it has to be turned into the Ohio EPA, and it ends up being the notebook. I've presented it to the board before. It's a notebook about that thick, that everything that we've done as a township that we have to do our part to keep our storm system and everything working properly. And that's everything from, we do monthly checks on all of our facilities, making sure that we got everything taken care of. We don't have grease and oil it spills anywhere, salt buildup. We make sure all of our catch basins are clean. With that being said, one thing that we do is we've got an annual program we work on periodically throughout the year to where we go out and we're actually using our new back truck and we clean our catch basins. Just to try to keep a lot of the trash and everything from working our system down. Because ultimately, every catch basin, every storm system goes into a waterway. So everything is being carried through that system and ends up in a lake, a stream, a river. The contaminants in there actually do kill fish and everything else that actually, you know, lives within that system. I was asked to put together, and I can give a copy of all of this to the board. I had to put together a whole manual on how our road department as a township has to deal with the pollution prevention and good housekeeping for our facilities. And that all had to be reported to the Ohio EPA. So it just shows that we're doing our part. As residents, there's a lot of things that we can do to do our part too, away from here and at your own homes. Just understand that everything and anything that you have, that you do in your around your house, washing your vehicles in your driveway, all the soap and oil and everything that's being washed down to the street ultimately goes into the curb and gutter system, which goes into the storm system and into the creeks and into the rivers. Best thing to do in situations like that is actually go to, I know it costs money to do it, go to a car wash because they've got a water filtering system. That's the best way to do that. Like with your yard, watch the amount of fertilizer you're putting on. Don't over-fertilize because naturally, same thing. It rains, it washes everything into the curb and gutter and ends up into the waterways. Keeping everything out of your curb like it leaves. We go around, something that we do is we go around, we still got to do it this year, is do the street sweeping on the curbs. Just try to keep everything in front of your house clean. You know, no trash, no buildup, no leaves, no oil. Do not pour anything down your catch basins. If you see somebody pouring something down a catch basin, please feel free. I've got a sheet up here. I ran off a bunch of phone numbers. There's contact information that you can call the Ohio EPA spill line. I know that we work hand in hand with the Environmental Patrol through the sheriff. We've had some issues already. I think it was last year we had a major issue that we all had to work together on. If you notice somebody doing that, it is an illicit discharge, illegal dumping. So there's numbers I'll give everybody. If anybody wants to grab one of these, they can. It's just everybody just needs to do their part. I just wanted to do a presentation to the board because I had to, just to let you know where we're at, what we do. We're continuing to work on that. It's just something that we have to do. We've got training that we do twice a year within our department. Something else, if you live into an area, I know that they just put everybody in the city sewer. Some people that may not be hooked up to a city sewer that has an aeration system, please stay on top of that and make sure that that's working properly, because the aeration system comes from your septic system, then it's pumped into
storm sewer.
Mm-hmm. So if that's not working properly, then you're actually contaminating.
And you can smell that.
Yeah, so I will leave these up here on the table if anybody would like a copy of this. It has a lot of contact information. We also have flyers and everything out here in the lobby. Feel free to grab anything. It tells you a little bit about what we're doing. Other than that, that's all I have.
Thank you. And can you send me a copy of that manual and email?
Sure.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you, sir. Fiscal Department, looks like we've got some bills to pay.
Yep. First thing, God be it resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio,
Thank
that
you.
The board makes a motion to approve accounts payable from December 2nd, 2022 through December 15th, 2022 in the amount of $93,696.54 and payroll paid on December 9th, 2022 in the amount of $255,750.80 for a combined total of $349,447.34 from check number 68531 to 68572 and electronic vouchers 1909-2022 through 1984-2022. Just so you know, this is higher because of payroll, last payroll with some cash outs.
So moved on the, I'll make a motion to accept the bills and payroll to pay them.
Second.
I will call Jim.
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
Thank you. Next thing I have here is, okay, that is the wrong exhibit for a supplemental appropriation. Okay. So, yeah, that is not what I was anticipating. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm on the wrong thing. This is for the annual appropriations for 2023. I'm sorry. I'm ahead of myself. We do have a supplemental as well. I'll get to that shortly, but... this 2022-185 is approving the appropriations for 2023. As you go through the different forms that are part of this Exhibit A here, there was a comment from Trustee Flesh about moving $75,000 that was moved. So upon ratification and approval of this budget, that will be in effect. And this is for January 1st, 2023 through December 31st, 2023, where it is necessary to provide for the current expenses and other expenditures of Franklin Township, Franklin County during the year ending December 31st, 2023, and whereas the annual appropriations are effective from January 1st through December 31st. The sums presented in Exhibit A total $9,730,800. And it is also still worth noting that it is expected with revenues for 2023 that the amount should still exceed $10 million for the year.
Okay. And then, sir, the only changes was that?
Just that one, yes.
Just that one,
yep.
Yes, sir.
That's correct.
So I asked, Chairman, I asked in our last meeting to have this in a public meeting because I believe that you guys have an opportunity to hear what the budget is, so when we go to vote on it.
Absolutely.
Mr. Chairman, whatever you would like, your pleasure.
Move to accept resolution as written.
Yeah, I would second that.
So, we took care of
clarification. We did get that. You
yes.
said we did get that $75,000 moved.
Correct.
Yes.
That's
yeah.
right. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nick.
I think that was the only concern we all of us had.
Yeah, that was the only thing.
Okay.
All right, roll call on this. Jim?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Thank you. I do have a supplemental appropriation as well. It was brought to my attention from Chief Smith that there was a purchase order for trauma kits for vehicles to come out of the Ohio Opioid Fund. And as a reminder on this, the township prior to the new administration this year had signed up to receive or to be a part of the opioid settlement. We received $3,800 from that so far. While the money is there, you guys still have to approve the appropriation to allow the expense. So with that, I do have supplemental appropriation number 13 to appropriate $4,000 for the opioid fund. That actually needs to be, I believe, $3,800 is what actually came in. So I can't over appropriate what we don't have. So I'll correct that on the exhibit. But upon approval of this, then the police department would be allowed to use that money to get trauma kits for each of their vehicles.
And the trauma kits are?
Where are they?
For gunshots, dismemberments,
okay.
mass casualty.
Okay. Yep. Just want a clarification for the record and for the people.
And that's how many, one for each car?
Yes.
Okay.
So moved on the resolution.
I'm sorry.
All right, roll call, Jim?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Thank you. And let me double check the agenda. And if that's all I have at this point, I'm going to turn it over to Jeff to present. Let me just make sure. That's good. Okay. I'm going to turn things over now to Jeff to present findings from 2020 as he has finished reconciling 2020. And it's important that the board finds out his findings.
Yes, sir.
More paperwork.
Yeah.
We kill a lot of trees.
Sure. John, I'll give you a copy of that.
I've got, is this the this here?
No.
Okay.
You want to follow along? You want to follow along? Follow the line?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You want one?
Yep.
Chief Smith? Thank you.
One of the things that I've been working on besides helping Nick out, keeping up with all the current activities, plus getting the budget done for 23, is working on the reconciliation that had to be completed for December of 2020, or I'm sorry, for calendar year 2020. Presented in front of you is the actual reconciliation at the end or December of 2020. This is cumulative for all 12 months. And there's a number of things I want to point out to you as down through this reconciliation. If you turn to page 2, you'll see a number of transactions, mainly the ACH transactions that are highlighted. ACH transactions are electronic payments that occur at the bank and on the books. There is no reason for these things to not have cleared at least by the following month. It's not like a check where it gets mailed out and somebody can sit on it for a period of time. This is instant. It takes place every 2 hours, the bank clears them and runs them. So as you can see, there's a number of months with outstanding ACH transactions that should not have happened. So they should have cleared.
My question would be, would we not, I mean, are these vendors, or are these people, or payroll?
It is a combination of payroll withholdings and some payments for vendors.
So you would think that a vendor would be going, hey, where's my...
Sure. Some of these are, well, all of these are initiated on the township side.
Okay.
So again, you post an electronic payment on the books, you automatically go to the bank and you make the same thing.
Right, and that mirrors
you clear out.
Right.
As you can see, you know, May, there was $14,000, almost $700 that hasn't cleared out yet. June, $8,800. July, $7,900. Rounding this up, I've got exact dollar amounts on the working here.
Mm-hmm.
August, $19,300.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they should have cleared out, okay? There are a number of outstanding checks yet. And again, I can understand a check taking maybe a month or two for it to clear, because sometimes people set on them, vendors set on them, it just takes a little more time. There is a great deal of checks sitting out there that have to be looked at. More than likely, these are going to end up in your unclaimed monies fund, because they've become stale dated.
Sure. So the question with our checks, do we have a post date of checks are good for 30 days only, 60 days only on the checks themselves?
I don't think so, but we could investigate some different options to correct that.
I was thinking that there was either 60 days on it.
Mm-hmm. While you're talking, I'll go look at one, but I don't think so.
Maybe 90.
A lot of times what I find is that then vendors that receive your check, they see that right above the signature, this check's only good for 30 days.
Well, in all honesty, too, they can still cash it and it's still going to go through.
Yeah.
Okay. So
it's just a method of saying, put this in the bank.
I think it was.
You would hope. So,
and I think, aren't we so stated on our checks?
You don't post the bank check.
We don't. Uh-uh. No. We don't say good for 90 days. Not.
Well, the check may indicate
the time. Okay. The check does not indicate that.
Okay. Does
so
not. Okay.
Typically, not. They're good for 6 months.
Okay.
Much beyond that, it's stale dated, and most banks won't cash them.
That's what I thought.
But you can go to an ATM and run it through, and it's going to go.
There's no one there physically to look at it.
So your outstanding checks and ACH transactions listed here total $174,700.
Wow.
Okay. The next grouping of things, receipts not deposited. Goes back to earlier in the year. There are, six, seven receipts listed there that never got deposited. They're recorded, but not deposited. That totals $7,273.
So do we have that money to deposit?
Where's no, that? I don't know where it's at. Ooh. There's a receipt on the books, but it does not tie to a deposit at the banks. And I've tied all those deposits out.
And this is in 2020?
Yep. Mm-hmm. So what will essentially happen is go back and look at the receipts, and that will be deducted from the fund that it was posted to. And then somebody else can figure out, or research them and figure out what happened. But at this point, it's hard coming. Okay?
So basically the money is totally unaccounted for.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So the next grouping, unrecorded deposits. This is the opposite of what's happened. These are things that have gone into the checking account that have never been posted to the books. There are also some more receipts in here not deposited. They total $16,600.
So this is like putting a puzzle together without no picture on the front.
Yes, and what gets scary is when you start to figure out what somebody's done and you can match things up quickly.
Yeah.
But that takes a little while.
Yeah.
The next grouping, they're labeled ACH transactions. It's really the payments to the police and fire pension system and the public employees retirement system. There are, you should see one highlighted for $55,800. Mm-hmm. That's a double payment. And it's not posted to the books.
So it's a double payment. They entered it twice, or was money, or is it just?
It's entered twice on
the payment book side, not the payment side.
Yeah, so that'll actually increase fund balance.
Retirement systems.
So a lot of what was happening with the payments to the retirement system is they were getting posted to the books long before they ever went out to the retirement system and made payment. Okay, so there's problems there. The reports were also being filed late, so you were incurring penalties and interest, and part of the differences can be the penalties and interest. But when you're sitting here looking at transactions and you have to look at three or four different ones as to what matches up to what actually got paid, it gets a little difficult. So both with the police pension or the fire pension and OPERS, we have $125,800 worth of transactions that are a problem. And part of this is not recorded.
Is this one Mary was in?
Both, actually, Mary and Lisa.
Okay.
Now, the ones down towards the bottom of that list, they may very well clear out or may have cleared out in January. I've not looked forward enough to really say for sure on that, okay?
So just so I have this, I apologize. What is the pension issue? I mean, what?
There's a number of different things that were happening. There certainly appears to have been some confusion as to the information that was appropriate to be put on the pension reports.
Okay.
Versus okay. What our payroll system was telling us.
Okay.
I can honestly tell you, if you pull the right report out of the payroll system, out of our accounting system.
Out of UAN.
Yeah, they match up perfect. Okay?
Okay.
I typically don't have a problem doing the pension reports. But I also know what reports to look at. There are certain other reports that don't coincide with what goes to the pension system. Pension system reports are all based upon the pay period end date, not the pay date. And a lot of the reports will come out on pay date, which is a few days difference. Okay? So you've got to watch and make sure you get the proper information put together. And again, the system will do it correctly.
So most of the time, obviously, we've always heard what you put in is what you get out. But with UAN, it seems like UAN, if you pay attention to the UAN, it will catch most of your mistakes.
Not necessarily, but what's in the system is accurate. You've got to make sure you're looking at the right information. And again, I've seen evidence where the wrong reports were used to try and match things up to what belonged reported to the pension.
So they shift things to make it match, even if it was, let's say, $2 off.
I still have a half a dozen transactions for payments to OPERS in the system that are uncertain as to what happened. Suspicion is somebody created the report online with the pension system and paid it and never bothered to clear out the system. UAN.
So a lot of it's just user error.
Yes. Lack of not knowing what you're doing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And afraid of saying.
Yeah. So the next grouping, which is on page 4, it's labeled ACH transactions not posted to UAN. These are all sorts of transactions that have cleared the bank and never got posted. You've got $21,000 worth of premiums paid to Bureau of Workers' Comp. There's a lot of payments in question to PILPAC, or which I believe is associated with
AFAC. That, yes.
Okay. The odd thing is, there's a lengthy list of $93.36. That really appears to be a reoccurring transaction that nobody, maybe somebody set up to automatically take place.
Where does it go?
Well, it went to PILPAC, but we don't know what for, because there's other payments that went to them.
It should be noted that this is still an ongoing transaction. We have made attempts to try to get a contact at PILPAC and have been unsuccessful. Audit is also working on trying to get a contact because they have questions during the audit period about PILPAC. So some of this has kind of been turned over to them to look into as well, in addition to us still trying to work behind the scenes to get a contact on our end.
So that's like $1,100 a year for how many years?
Well, this is only in 20.
Yeah, I realize that, but I mean,
I'd have to go backwards. I'd have to go back and look at 17, 18, 19.
I mean,
so
you'd have to look at 17, 18, 19. Yeah. Obviously, it's in 17, 18, and 19 because Nick just stated that.
Yeah.
And it's still paid now, but when it's paid now, it is cleared at the bank, so you won't see these continued 93.36.
So it's on the ledger.
It's on the ledger, and it's there. In terms of where it's going and for us to verify that these payments were actually made, we're trying to find a contact to do that, but it's been very difficult to do so.
Yeah, another one that's in here to the tune of $10,000, RITA. RITA is the Regional Income Tax Agency for municipal income tax that they collect for a number of municipalities. Mm-hmm. I've got three transactions here. One goes back to fourth quarter of 19. Another one is second quarter of 20. And the other one appears to be the third quarter of 19. The problem is I can't match up postings to the ledgers yet, to UAN with it. It's highly possible I've got those transactions identified elsewhere, but you've got potentially six different payments to add to it, up to one payment here. So you're kind of guessing as to which ones are which. They may come about yet as a little bit more research comes into play on it. Okay.
And to clarify too with RITA, depending on where employees work, you may have 2, 3, all the way to 10 or 11 different municipalities that all combine together to make that payment. So is it possible that, you know, an employee may come back and say, hey, you know, RITA's telling me I owe this, but you guys say you paid it? It's very possible.
So now for clarification, RITA is payments that we would make, for an example, to someone that works for works at another jurisdiction, such as somebody working at Gahanna.
No, they live.
It is the tax withholdings that were done. Okay.
And not remitted.
Gotcha. Okay.
Anyways, running on down the list, we get to the bottom of page 5, where there's a handful of additional transactions. I can tell you the ACH transactions there for school district income tax. There wasn't a single payment made in 20 for school district income tax that was withheld. There's also problems in prior years. I believe some of that got fixed and corrected in 21. I'd have to look forward to that. However, that is supposed to be paid, if I recall, Nick, bi-weekly on that one.
School district, well, it's supposed to be monthly, but we do it bi-weekly, so that we don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
So to go the entire year without paying any of the taxes you withheld from your employees?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Anyways, the ACH transactions total $98,800. And this is the net numbers on there, okay? Next grouping, lovely group, credit card transactions. and I don't mean to bore people with this, but I have just over 2 pages of transactions listed here. Okay? What has gone on with the credit cards? And again, this has been corrected going forward. We got it corrected late, maybe 2000, but definitely in 21. Okay? You had transactions posted to the books that were supposedly done on a credit card that don't show up on the credit card statements. You got transactions on the credit card statements and nothing was posted to the books. The credit card payment is an automatic deduct from your checking account once a month.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It's also about 60 days later than the transactions that appear on the, the transactions that appear on the check, the statement for your credit card are paid 30 days later from the statement date. So we have a significant timing difference that comes into play too. I have a whole different set of worksheet that identifies all the credit card transactions, what ones were posted to the books, matched up to the payments, and I identified all the ones that never had been posted to the books. But you've got a significant list here. Totals $2,700. Now, it may not seem like a lot, but if you look at the number of transactions, yes. So, something was going on. Sorry about that. Something's been going on with Amazon. I'm not sure exactly what it was, but there's a list of transactions totaling $960 that have not been posted to, that have been posted to books but don't show up on the bank statement anywhere.
So they didn't take the money out.
Right. So I'm not sure what's happened there, but that's got to be backed off, okay? Page 8, 9, 10, and the top of 11 represent, it's all of the income tax, municipal income tax, deducted from the employee's paychecks that is to be remitted monthly to the various cities.
And it's not Rita. That's different than
this is beyond, in addition to Rita.
That's what I thought Rita was.
None of these were done during the year.
What, this year?
2020. No, 21 and 22 is fixed and cleaned up and reconciled.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay? But if you look at the list, I can tell you, it's almost the entire year that these things were not paid. I also know from reconciling this stuff, most of these finally got paid in January of 21.
Okay.
Okay. And it's part, I backed into the amounts first, and then I started finding all of the things on the books. These things were posted to the books and never paid.
Wow.
Okay.
Not like we didn't have the money then, it had to be sitting there.
And you're talking City of Dublin, London, Marysville, Westerville, West Jefferson, and periodically Columbus pops up in there. So those total $4,100. Doesn't sound as bad, but again, there's a lot of transactions involved with this.
Okay. Well, those 4,100 still wasn't reconciled with the January 21.
The majority of those were all paid in January.
So is paid in January, most of the $4,000.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So, again, I've got a handful of transactions listed for Ohio School District income tax in reference to the postings. Let me back up. December, January is where those things started getting cleared up. We had a number of checks from prior years, 17, 18, 19.
Right.
And I want to be, believe before that we actually found the checks.
I remember that deal, yeah.
And the forms filled out, the tax forms completed, they were in a file and never got mailed.
Yeah.
So that came back into play.
We had a lot of stuff like that too. Not only that, didn't we? We had other things that weren't sent out at that same time that were in a file.
Yes, unfortunately. Now, I will honestly tell you, while there were problems that occurred during fiscal officer's time before Nick, that person also worked on cleaning up a lot of things. Fortunately, there's just way too much to handle on it. And there were, again, you can see the problems that have occurred also, new ones. So at the bottom, there are a couple of large numbers there. In 21, 20 and 21, there was a series of fund balance adjustments posted to the various funds that go back to 17, 18, and 19, and in some cases, back into 16 or further. Those basically total up to about $740,000. But again, those have been taken care of already. There's still a few more to take care of. All of the things listed here have to be adjusted against the revenue and expenditures for the funds in 20, and then that information fed to audit. I have not done that yet because I've been out of time, and in all honesty, I just got this wrapped up about a week and a half ago. I've been pushing to get that done. I do need to go back and look at some of these. I think what will happen as I identify the funds that these things have to be adjusted against for audit, I will probably reduce the amount that we are off by. I've got this down to where we're off $10,000 in reconciling two books.
And generally, what would you say, I mean, for a $10 million budget, I mean, that's 2% or 1%?
Much smaller than that.
Yeah.
And actually, I was down to $5,000 through November. There's so much stuff going on with the withholdings in December that I'm still off another $5,000.
Just a matter of finding it.
Yeah.
It's like finding a needle in a haystack, going back to, I don't know how you gotta like numbers, that's all I can say.
Yeah. I've done this many times, and like I said, sometimes there's a pattern that begins to form.
My checkbook is off by $5, it's like, okay, I agree.
Now, but the problem is
the most that happens currently going forward is we may have a rounding variance with payments at one of the pension systems by a couple of pennies. And we know exactly which one it is when it happens, and we can go post that and correct it. But that's just because of the calculations and rounding differences. So, again, it's almost done. That's all I can say. Almost there. I do believe it'll take me about another roughly 40 hours to figure out the adjustments against 20 that'll have to get posted to the books, and then be able to feed that revised revenue and expenditure information to audit. So, and we still have things to get done for 22. November needs reconciled yet. December will need reconciled. Pension report for November needs done, and December. We will have quarterly reports to do for the year, and year-end tax forms to be filed. We've got to close 22, and we need to open 23. Oh, and I think I forgot to list on one of the things. There are additional reimbursement requests to be made to the SAFER grant people for what's been paid through November and part of December. I've been working with Chief Arnold and going over those things. I will feed him where he's got the worksheet. I will sit with him and go over it so that somebody else can pick this up, because that's not something I really need to be doing, but the fiscal office should be on that one. And it's very important to have those grant dollars documented very clearly when it comes to an audit.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
That really helps when you do that, and you break it down like that when we get that, because it's a better understanding. I'm sure it gives the public a better understanding.
And you know, it does take your time to come in and do it, but I think the people get a lot out of it. We get a lot out of these. And
gives us to understand where we stand.
Yeah.
Yeah. The sad part is it shouldn't happen. Yeah. You've got to have the right people in here to do it. So.
And yeah, you got to have checks and balances.
And I was disappointed to hear that Nick's going to resign, because the two of us have worked together pretty well. We got a lot of things cleaned up and working very smoothly. So unfortunately, that changed again. So.
Nick, you have anything else for us?
There is an engagement letter. As Jeff said, would like to have 40 more hours to finish up getting this stuff sent over to audit. I have started November's bank rec. Still working through that. I've got the receipts down to just one receipt that I need Jeff to kind of walk me through the template on to post it, and it'll be good. I'm still going through the expenditure side on that. And several other things will be done prior to my departure, but as Jeff said, when he talks about closing 22 and opening 23 at the very beginning of every calendar year, we are technically working in two different years mm-hmm. to clean up the last little bit of 22 and the first part of 23. So Jeff does have an engagement letter here if the board wishes to take a look at that at 175 additional total hours, not to exceed $9,625. And his engagement letter is attached there if you would like to take a second to look over that.
I see this. I don't see the engagement letter.
He's right behind it.
This is the fund.
Let's see. I have
it. Here, John, you can look over mine.
Here, Nick. I'll give you my copy.
Okay. Yeah. So mine's, I've been keeping everything in order. I just didn't mm-hmm. see it.
I have a...
So I have a question.
Yeah.
Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
One at a time because yeah. I only can hear one.
Yeah. Well, question that I have, Jeff, is... let's see. We have a request for an increase, an hourly increase. There.
That's part of the engagement letter, yes.
So I'd like to discuss that a little bit. I think given the fact that, you know, we've totally put out an enormous amount of money in accounting and trying to get called up and everything.
That doesn't even touch the audit side yet.
Yeah, I know it. So, John, I don't know about you guys, but I have a situation there, obviously. The 40 hour.
Well, of the 175, roughly 40 is going to take me to finish up this part. The rest is, again,
okay.
All of the things need to be done for year end 2022. Getting the system closed, getting things situated to that. Robin will be able to submit the annual report to the auditor's office out of the accounting system. Okay. And getting the year end. Quarterly reports due for withholdings. Yeah. We have annual reports. We've got the W-2s to do for everybody. And then submitting all of the W-2s to the various taxing agencies.
Yeah, but I realize that there's still an awful lot
yep.
to do.
And you got the 1099s to do to all
and,
the...
You know, it's all about trying to get it done and all about...
Well, and your penalties for not getting it done can be substantial.
Yeah, oh, I know. I understand that. I have no question about that. I've had it bang me a couple of times in my life, you know.
The way around.
What I was going to say here, John and Jim, the engagement letter sets the fact that, you know, and Nick being gone definitely changes the whole scenario here too. It's going to take us a while to regroup from that. when do you want to start your pay increase?
With this engagement letter.
Okay.
So the next 40 hours.
Okay. The next 175. On
or 175.
Yes.
Okay. So, well, Mr. Horn, if I could jump in here.
Yeah,
a minute.
Go ahead then.
So, knowing your work, and I would never disrespect you, obviously you read to us that what you've done. And then the board's position when we are okay in monies for salaries and stuff. This is a very, usually a tough topic because feelings can get hurt either way. My question would be from roughly, I think in, if you take last year, this year, there's a $16 an hour difference, $8 this roughly this time versus last time because we're now at 55. $7.50 each time, but didn't we just go up last time? So 14.
Earlier in this year, we might go up.
So what I'm going to ask for you is, if the board allocates this and says yes, are we going to see an increase again next year?
No.
So as a gentleman agreement, we do not see, because here's my thing, and you've been here, you know the system, and this is just one trustee speaking. I see a need to be able to have someone like yourself in here, irregardless who's in this office.
Correct.
On a monthly basis, as the checks and balances, so that we don't go backwards. We spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to get us back to where we need to be.
Yeah.
To invest $55 an hour is almost like the 2% that you're trying to find out of 10 million.
Yeah.
So with that being said, I'm okay with the 55. If we have a gentleman's agreement, we know that we're not going to continue to see this year after year.
And the other thing that we need, that needs to take place, we need to find, or
absolutely
needs to find somebody that can come in and take over what I've been doing.
Sure.
Yes.
And the thing is, they have to be a resident in order to...
Well, yes, for the fiscal officer,
right.
Again.
But yes.
Keep in mind, your fiscal officer requirements are two things.
Absolutely.
A resident and a
high school
and a voter.
Yep.
And that's, right. That's right. That's
they
right.
have to have an high education. School education.
Yep.
So you're going to get somebody in here that knows nothing.
Nothing. Well, without you just get, you know, ports, that's not,
again,
I mean, that's not very likely.
So Mike, I will put some feelers out because...
So are you leaving after we get to a certain point, or are you going to be available as a independent to come in once a month or as needed to oversee and check things, checks and balances?
Well, let's discuss that next month.
Well, the conversation.
I'm going to encourage you guys to find somebody that you can hire or employ to start doing this.
Right.
Because I'm not going to keep up with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay? I also have another job that I'm doing.
Well, I understand that too. And that's why I think we need to have another meeting.
So.
And it is already set by the auditor. He said, yes, we're going to have a meeting in January, am I correct?
Yeah, it is.
I don't want to say anything out of place. I want to make sure I've got it right.
January 12th.
Okay, January 12th. What I would like to do, as you know, if he feels that he must have, you know, this increase 55. Right now, can we set some sort of date on that, you know, with us just throwing out a...
Well, where we're at
now. Can we give you, say, let's do 6 months?
We're doing 175 hours.
Right, at the new rate.
At
so
new
right
rate.
Now, we have to finish out throughout the year.
That should carry me to roughly the end of January.
Okay.
And then we can visit it at the...
Yes.
Okay, so we can visit that in January.
But we'll be... We'll
at
still,
this rate, we're agreeing.
We'll still have the 175 hours.
No, we'll have the $55 an hour.
Okay.
And
I will put some feelers out there to try and find someone else that can come in and help you guys out and oversee some things to keep it on the right track, okay?
So, Ralph, just to be clear, here's what we're doing.
Okay.
The $55 an hour, he knows his worth.
Okay.
We're not going to try to, in my opinion,
this engagement letter is
agreeing to his new rate.
Correct.
He is not going to raise his rate next year on us when he comes around as a gentleman's agreement.
I'm good for that.
So where we're at right now is to agree on this engagement letter at this rate for this amount of hours so that we can finish up the rest of the year.
You're right.
So that's what we're voting on right now.
And
I get what he just said. I totally understand.
Plus 22 and March 23.
Now, there's one other question that I need to throw out to the board here, too. Okay, there was a big hoopla with the auditor, and he pretty near bit my head off when I asked a question. His letter from the state auditor, they were asking, they had a statement in there that said they wanted $152,000 a year next year.
Yeah, it was
the waiver. Then he says, no, we want $45,000.
Yeah.
Now, can somebody clear my head on that? We've got two conflicting.
That is coming up with Steve.
Steve has that.
Okay. Steve has that. He will clarify that for you.
Yeah, do you have the answers on that, Steve? I'm not, you know, you see where I'm coming from. We have spent so much money here. I don't know if it's better off to say,
Well, we got to get through it.
Yeah, we get through it. I understand that.
We came
that.
This far to have a $7.50 raise.
I get that, John. I'm not talking about that.
I sure.
Where is this going, and why can't we get some bona fide answers?
I believe that we
he
are
has,
pretty close.
Jeff, I'm not even asking him to try to resolve that.
You're right.
I understand. I mean, you know, the guy got pretty hot at
that's
it.
Two sub, that's, this is two different
okay,
subject
well,
matters.
Okay. When we talk about this next December,
right.
I want you guys to remember this conversation.
Yes.
We're going to talk about
fact,
it here shortly.
Okay, sir.
Mr. Horn, if I make you understand.
Go ahead.
No. If I understand you correctly, because I want to make sure I get this right.
Right.
So right now, we're just voting on him finishing up this year.
That's all I'm voting on, but we got coming up to vote for the new, for the auditors.
Let's
talk about that on that resolution. This is a totally separate resolution.
Well, I just want to make sure you guys are aware.
Okay,
we
I just
do
want to
have
make sure
more money.
I understood what you had. Okay, go ahead.
So,
okay. I'll make a motion to accept the resolution as written. At the 55 for the 175 hours.
Well, I'm going to take Jeff's word that he's not going to push them over, and I'm going to say I'll second that.
Well, and understand too, guys.
Okay.
There's been about at least 15 to 20 hours that I've been working on my own, doing things, helping Nick out.
Well, you
and
know, and I and,
I can't
I don't,
bill you for it.
And I don't, and I don't, and I'm not going to even argue with you. I believe you. Okay.
I just appreciate you understanding. It's a touchy situation when we come to this.
But we're responsible to these people too, and
yes.
And what they just heard in your report, there's been a lot of people not questioning things, and you know, that's where we get ourselves in trouble.
And by the way, I do thank you for the genuine feedback, which I believe the folks here understand a little better than we got in the other meetings.
And I'd like to point out too, as a reminder. 21 and 22 are fully reconciled.
Right.
So that part's done.
Okay.
We've cleaned up a lot of the problems
that led
to this stuff.
I know.
Okay. You've got, since I've been here, you got a budget for 20, 21, 22.
Right.
And now 23 that are
solid.
Okay. So that gets getting you on the right foot and hopefully
getting ahead in the right direction. Yeah.
So roll call.
Yes.
For 2022-195, Jim?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yeah.
John?
Yes.
Thank you. And that concludes fiscal, unless Jeff had something else, but I don't think so.
Jeff, you have anything else?
No.
Okay.
So now we're going to go into Mr. Horn, what you were talking about.
Yeah.
This will clarify for you, Ralph.
No, I'm good. I'll turn it over to you.
Okay.
It's all you.
All right, Mr. Horn.
Yes.
We'll fast forward here, and we'll talk about your question regarding the audit. The last resolution was correct. It's just the wording that made it confusing when it addressed $142,229.
Okay.
So I spoke to the auditor state. We came to an understanding of what the actual dollar amounts should be for the rest of 2022 into 2023. However, the one thing that I was confused with as well is, what is that $142,229? That is the absolute worst case scenario for the township expense-wise. If they get into this audit into 2023 and they find more issues that are gonna be more time consuming, their guesstimate is to clean all the mistakes up in 2023 could amount to $142,229.
Okay.
I'll just come right out and say it. With Nick here and Jeff here, I would feel comfortable that we're not going to even get close to seeing $142,000.
Okay. Issues have been cleaned up.
Yes.
And stay there.
But the auditor is saying, Steve, your worst case, if this is a huge mess, you could be looking upwards of $142,000 to cover their auditing expenses.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, we've already paid some of that.
Yes.
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 That total is with the original fee estimate, which was at $22,509. There was a prior amendment that was passed before I took office for an additional $32,000. There was an amendment passed since I've taken office for $41,000. And then there's this amendment at $45,920. All of that together would come up to $142,229. We've already paid some of that already.
Yes.
So,
Mr.
just
Chairman,
to completely clear it up.
Mr. Horn, are you clear on that?
Well, I'm clear on it.
So we're looking at 45, route through 45,920.
Well, it's always seeing the bottom line number is the one that's going to be stuck by. So.
Right.
I'd say it's going to be 152.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Because of the fact that we've had Nick on it.
I trust Nick, but I'm not trusting the rest.
But the reason I'm saying that is...
And there is no question in my mind that they will hear what I'm saying here in this meeting.
I understand that.
Because anything that was said in the other meeting...
It's recorded.
...was recorded. He asked for... he wanted to hear the public records to see what I said about them. Well, I'm not totally happy with having 3 and 4 and 5 years, right? And I think we've been...
So one of the reasons to let the audience know is the cost is more...
Like,
when they came in to do an audit,
let's get old
they started
Ralph
down
and thinking
here
like the
and
worked
their way up to
here.
Current. And since we have Jeff in and Nick in over the last couple of years, they've had to work the same way, but they set everything so it's correctly.
Right.
So the next year should be just, yep, what is this? Okay, yep. It should not take near what it took from 17,
18, 19, 20. And just so everybody understands, I know that this has gone all the way back to 2013. Far longer than I have been here. So me sitting here and taking abuse from auditors, I'm not happy about it.
So, Mr. Chairman, with that being heard, are we going to move on this?
Yeah. So moved on the engagement.
Oh, you need me to read the resolution for you?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Resolution 2022-184, accept amendment number 3, letter of arrangement from the Auditor of State, be it resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the Board approves to accept the amendment number 3 letter of arrangement dated November 15, 2022 from the Auditor of State for an initial cost of $45,920. A potential cost could result in total expenses of $142,229 based on audit progress projections from the Auditor of the State. And then there's an exhibit attached.
Yes.
As Nick explained, the total expenses with what we've already paid could total $142,000.
Right.
Yeah.
So moved as the resolution is written.
Okay, I will second that. I want to make sure that I have a copy of the board of the file here, stating that there will be no more than.
So that's what it has in here.
Okay.
Yeah, we're agreeing up to
$45,920.
Yes, sir. If he comes back, if the auditor comes back with another letter, we'll come back to
correct.
You.
Right.
Yeah.
They would have to.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. Roll call on 22-184. Jim.
Yes.
John.
Yes.
Ralph.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. The next gentleman I have. Resolution 2022-197, a resolution approving obligations authorized by the Township Administrator for the period of December 2nd, 2022 through December 15, 2022. The Board of Trustees, a resolution 2021-130, authorized the Township Administrator to approve and incur obligations of $10,000 or less on behalf of the Township, in accordance with Section 507.11 of the Ohio Revised Code. Again, for the period of December 2nd, 2022 through December 15, 2022, the total amount is $43,129.98.
So moved on the resolution to pay. for those.
Second.
Roll call on 22-197. Jim?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Thank you.
Next resolution is 2022-194, resolution approving his contract with Clark Environmental Mosquito Management, Inc. Be resolved that the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, approves and authorizes the appropriation of funds to enter into a contract with Clark Environmental Mosquito Management for mosquito management within the township at a cost not to exceed $9,100.
So moved on resolution as written.
Second.
Roll call, Jim?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Thank you. And that was 2022-194.
Zoned out there for a minute.
Okay. Sorry if I'm asking too quick.
No, you're fine. I just wasn't competing.
Next resolution is 2022-193, resolution authorizing the township administrator to accept the Teamsters 413 contract for the office and clerical staff. Be resolved by the Board of Trustees of Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the Board adopts, approves, and authorizes the execution of the Township's office and clerical employees, Teamsters Local Union 413 contract for the duration period of January 1, 2023 through December 31, 2025.
So moved. As written.
Second.
Roll call, Jim?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yes.
John?
Yes.
Thank you. And that was 2022-193.
The next is resolution 2022-190, contracting with Brocious, Johnson, and Briggs as the township's attorneys for the year 2023.
I have a question on that.
Yes, sir.
Last year, they, thanks to Mr. Horn, he was able to talk to them, and it wasn't a significant hourly rate. Is there a difference in hourly rate before you read this?
No, it's the same hourly rate as last year's contract.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Yes.
Go ahead.
And I read the resolution over
here,
did I not?
Yes.
Okay. 2022-190. Whereas the board finds it necessary to appoint attorneys to counsel to represent the township on an annual basis for calendar year 2023 in such matters as the board or its designee may refer to them, and whereas the board has appropriated the sum of $75,000 for legal services for 2023, John, answer your question, I'll go into this, just to get it on record. The compensation for such counsel during 2023 shall be paid as follows. $225 per hour partner attorney fee, $205 per senior associate fee, $180 per associate time, $120 per hour for law clerk, and $105 per hour for legal assistant time. Out-of-pocket expense reimbursements provided that the total compensation shall not exceed $75,000 without further action by this board.
So we've upped up from 50 from previous years?
No, it was 75 has been pretty much the standard from year to year.
Okay.
Until the board intercedes and says, okay, we need to.
I understand, sir.
So moved as resolution 2022-190.
Okay. Roll call, Jim?
Yes.
Ralph?
Yeah.
John?
Yes.
Thank you.
Two quick things to discuss. Next year, as our department heads have in the past, they have applied through for grants through OTARMA. I just wanted to make sure the board was aware that, again, 2023 fire, police, and road can file for these grants. I think it's $1,000 for fire and police, and Jim only gets $500.
Why is Jim
free money is free money?
Why is everyone picking on me?
I'm used to it. Sorry.
You can use that to buy.
Do you get some coal with that too?
No. Okay.
You can use that to buy signposts.
Yeah.
Or rocks.
Then the last thing I have.
I need that.
It was kind of brought to my attention before we came out for the meeting, but I'll bring it up. In the past, the township has had the opportunity to purchase some land at the corner of Harrisburg and Frank Road, about 2.34 acres. There's been no communication with the property owner in probably 6 or 8 months. A month or two ago, I heard from the township's attorney that the gentleman who owns the property now is interested in selling the property again. So again, Harrisburg and Frank Road, about 2.34 acres. And the only stipulation that the owner of the property has is, and I apologize for lacking real estate legalese, that the township pay approximately $1,000 for a deed
search or something?
No, just a regular deed itself. It's basically the filing fees. Yeah. Because in order to get the deed.
Oh, deed.
So okay. I probably have notes right here.
Okay, so I didn't understand.
In order to get the deed, normally it would come from his side. He's asking for that to come out of our side.
What is the purchase price of that?
I just want to make absolutely sure.
Okay.
Actually, yes, it's for title insurance, $1,000, approximately $1,000. And the price of the land is $235,000.
And that's what it was, the same as it was before, correct? Did it go up with all this other craziness?
Yes.
And we have that money from the White House.
And other
properties
The actual proceeds, and Nick, correct me if I'm wrong, somewhere $123,000.
So it's from the White House, yes. So there would still be about $110,000. I know that there are some other properties that are in process of being sold.
Yeah.
So that number will come down a little bit, but whatever's left, if the board were to pursue with that, general fund would have to eat that.
Okay.
And not to interrupt, you just remind me, it hasn't been finalized yet, but all the paperwork's been sent for the sale on Brown, so that'll be around $10,000 proceeds.
So, let me make a motion?
If you want to make that motion, the way I look at it is they're not making any more land, and we can always sell it if we need to.
Well,
we do need to expand back. Or we could expand back and make a building for Jim to get rid of the one that's condemned.
The property value that we got checked came out more than what he sold it to us for, the survey. So with that being said, I'd like to graciously make this resolution that we've been trying to get this done for a long time be it resolved by the Board of Trustees, Franklin Township, Franklin County, Ohio, that the board agrees to pay
$235,000
for address.
I think it's parcels, ain't it?
Yes, parcels. Yes. Owner's name.
Okay.
And parcels.
I thought we were going to kick around maybe about some other options.
The parcels I got right here: 14000175, parcel 14000526. And I'm going to drop off the 14 and the zeros and say 523.
So a total of three parcels?
1, 2, 3, correct. If there's no further questions on this, I would ask for a second.
I don't wish to second it.
I will second it.
Well, I don't know. You know, you guys were kind of talking about possibly doing something else, or Jim had some thoughts and ideas. I thought maybe we would give Jim an opportunity to still. I mean, he's been some of the people that's worked on this. I would like to make a motion. I'm not saying good, bad, or if I'm going to do it or vote for or against it, because I don't know if it's the best option right now. I think we need to table it maybe for a New Year meeting and have a little time to just take our time and see what's the best for all concerned.
Mr. Horn, if I may,
John, I know you've been wanting to do that for 7-8 years.
Yeah, and this deal has finally came into our hands right here, and if we can
besides, I think $235,000 is way overpaid for that piece of junk.
And actually, the survey came in way
I know it did, but they're talking about commercial land with a lot of issues there that don't show up in their estimate and all that kind of thing. So I think we need to, I don't think one, you've waited for 6 years or so, I don't think one more or two more months is going to hurt you.
We keep doing this and then we almost lose it every time. So we have a
Roll call, Jim.
If you got to listen to what I said. Well, I, you know, I don't care. Everybody's got their own opinion. You want to go in one direction. We're going to sit there for years with a piece of dead property.
Understood. So we can, the roll call is requested.
We can sell it.
The roll call is requested by Trustee Fleshman. Jim?
Yes.
Ralph?
No.
John?
Yes.
Thank you.
I just don't think it's good right now.
I just, they're not making any more land and we can sell it.
I disagree with that, and I've heard that for 6 years too, Jim.
I know.
I think it'd be a good
And I respect
move.
Your, I respect, I respect your opinion
it.
On that.
But still, I just don't think it's good. We got other options, and I just think with us trying to dig our way out of this audit and everything, it still hadn't changed a lot. Bye.
Okay. So anything else, Steve?
There we go.
No, sir.
Okay.
And you have the resolution number. Did you get that resolution
It's going to be 2022-200. We're flipping over to the twos.
200.
Yep.
Thank you.
Is that one to be typed yet, I assume?
Yeah,
I'll have to.
Okay. Okay.
We'll have to come in and sign it.
That'll be one that Julie do.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Moving on to the trustees' reports. We've had a lot of talk today, and I'm going to be brief. We've had a lot of talk today about the audit and about the auditors. We have had meetings with the auditors. We are getting some feedback from the auditors. All indications that I am getting is that it is moving forward quickly. We should be wrapping it up soon. We have, as you already heard, we have another meeting scheduled on the 12th of January, and they have requested meetings once a month until it's done. So that tells me they're coming back with a lot of things to give us. We have a laundry list of things we need to work on. That being said, that is all I have as a report for you today. Mr. Fleshman, do you have anything for me?
I only had two things. I was going to follow up. I made some notes. With the BP, the old BP at West Broad and Philippi, did we move or touch on someone with that behind? And can you give any update on?
We've turned pictures and everything in through the Board of Health. And
okay.
From there.
Did we reach out to the owner of that property by any chance?
No, I did have conversations with Julie, and we have the ability to force the owner to clean that property up. If not, then the trustees and the township can intercede.
So I was just curious.
I thought Dave, weren't you going to touch base with the owner up there?
I was first there.
Okay. Let's do this.
It's a government operation.
Well, let's do this. Let's contact the owner.
Yeah, we'll get it.
Make him aware.
Make him aware, and that we're going to put it into receivership if he doesn't clean it up.
So the only thing that I had is I had a call in regards to some property, a phone call that they had some stuff to pick up, and they were stating that they didn't get a call back from the main office. And I just want to be confident that we are answering the phone when it's ringing, and if they leave a message, if they can definitely be called back if they're asking to be called back. I know I didn't take the call. I mean, I took the call when they called me. They couldn't get a call back, and I sent you the message.
Right.
But when I spoke with the gentleman, he was explaining that he was calling in here and he could not, for three different times, and he couldn't get a call back. So I don't know if we are, let's be more encouraging to make sure any resident that calls in gets a call back.
Okay, but I think we do touch base with the residents.
So I don't know. I'm just saying, let's just be mindful.
Okay.
Because I'm not going to say that he's right or he's wrong. I'm just saying we just need to be alerted that, you know, if that's coming in, or did we not get the message with the phone systems or whatever.
Okay.
We just need to pay attention, because I don't want to say someone did not call him back. I just don't want to start seeing this happen. That's all I have.
Okay. Mr. Horn, do you have anything?
No.
Okay. Moving on to questions. Mr. Blevins, your first one up.
I wanted to ask, you want to start the clock, or are you going to do it in your... It's not going to take 3 minutes, so I'm happy to just say. But, Nick, I'd like to ask you a question.
Sure.
Since you're going to be leaving and you won't be here, you and I had a conversation in the parking lot one day. I approached you about why there hasn't been any more information come out about what the trustees are paying for their health insurance. And you told me that you were told that it's never to come up in an open meeting again, and you either said you were told by a trustee or the trustees. Is that true? And if it is true, is it trustees or is it trustee?
My last information on that was that it should not have been discussed in an open meeting, is that it should have been discussed in an executive session, and I was told that by two trustees.
And that we don't, basically, should not be given that information?
To the general gist of it, yes.
Okay, I just want that for it to be on the record.
Yep.
And that's my question for the day. Have a Merry Christmas, and thanks for letting me ask the question.
You are welcome. Mr. Chip Tate.
Okay, I got three things. There's a pothole on front of 1613 Rosemont. It's
big, isn't it?
I don't know whether you can patch it or fill it with the cold weather. I don't
know. I do know one thing, that we've got it on the board. Next week we're going to be putting a lot of asphalt out. We've got quite a few areas that we've been, while we're doing leaf collection, you're up and down every road, so we made a substantial list.
Okay. But I just wanted to make you aware of it.
Thank you, Chip.
That property behind my house at 1025 Roland Avenue, man, he's got a table out there now. He just throws out cardboard boxes and lets it rain and then lets it blow against my car.
That's on the other side of the alley, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So I don't know what be done. But it's getting annoying.
Where are we at with the limited home rule on that? Can we?
Yeah, we can do that. We just, again, as I said before, we can work with the Department of Health and the Franklin County Zoning, and then we actually take it off their plate, and then I communicate with Julie, and then we can start the paperwork. What happens is it reverts back to the trustees. The trustees will contact the owner and say you have a certain amount of time to clean your property. If not, then Jim and I talked about this. My advice would be for us to hire a contracting firm to go out and clean the mess up as opposed to burdening Jim and his crew.
Sure.
And then
absolutely,
the township
gets reimbursed
for the contractor.
Okay. So I have another question. Oh, go ahead. It's your turn. No, it was not with you. It just reminded me of another address.
And the last thing is, I'm saddened to hear this about you leaving, Nick. I always appreciate your conversations and your knowledge of the taxes and helping everybody out on that. So
thank you.
Wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
And I think the trustees, fire, chaplain, and the police. Thank you.
You had one more thing on the adjourn.
What address, do you remember what street that was over across from Franklin Heights? That
On Eureka, it's like 1235. I think.
Have we looked at that? I mean, you can't miss it when you drive by.
If that's a property we're talking about, I actually think the people who own the home, is it Jim?
Yes.
They had no idea the mess. They live out of town in Zanesville or something. They're aware, and they are making a concerted effort Excuse me.
It's in the court.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like that before.
But they are making a concerted effort to get it cleaned up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chip, can you get with Steve and get all the paperwork filled out that we need to do on on that property behind you so we can get it cleaned up? I mean, that's why we did the limited home rule.
Yep.
So let's move it forward.
Let's hope everything goes well.
We have been very long today, if you can make it real quick.
Jim, can I take a minute?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
My great
well, let's do that. Let's do that after the meeting. Yes.
I just wanted to tell everybody thank you. Everybody, be safe. And Merry Christmas to everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Thank Merry you. Christmas to everybody from me as well.
I can't speak for everyone up here, but it's been an honor to serve you this year. I appreciate each and every one of you that have showed up. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Be safe. Remember our firefighters, especially Washington Township right now, but also remember our police officers and our servicemen and women who are overseas in this holiday season. Mr. Fleshman, you want to thank them or anything? Okay.
I'm afraid to use that word.
You can't say
that. Yeah, that's true. I might have just gotten in trouble. I don't know. It's been an honor to serve you. Meeting's adjourned. 1:41